no people in the future.
There are no people.
There are no people in the future.
No people at all.
There are no people in the future.
Where did all my people go?
There are no people in the future.
Let me try my people call.
Everybody, welcome. It is Wednesday, July 21st, 2021. Welcome once again to the newest edition of Raging Chicken's collection of podcasts. Yes, it's the Wednesday show with Cyril Mikulenko, progressive columnist for Bucks County Courier Times and the Intelligencer. This show joins Out the Coop Live, our Monday evening interview show, and our Friday politics roundup, in which Sean Kitchen and I break down the good, the bad, and the ugly in state and national politics. You can get all our shows by subscribing to our podcast on Podbean, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Yep, you can find it. And you can also help support this show by becoming a patron for as little as $5 a month. Just go to patreon.com/rcpress. Your support has helped make today's show possible. And if you're listening on the Podbean app, well, hey, you can hit that patron button too and support the show as well. You should also be signing up for Cyril's newsletter on Substack. You can find that at cyrilmikulenko.substack.com. Or to make your life really easy, just going to click on that link in the show notes today. You can help out the show by heading on over to our YouTube channel and smash that subscribe button, like the stream for this show, and hit that notification bell so that you know every time that we go live. And you can even join our Discord server to continue the conversation all week long. Just click on the link in today's show notes, and it'll take you right there. Special shout out once again goes to Jonathan Mann, who wrote our intro song, There Are No People in the Future. Check out all his great stuff on his YouTube page and follow him on Twitter at @SongOfDayMan, with two N's, at @SongOfDayMan on Twitter. Well, on today's show, well, you know, here we're at it once again. We're going to be talking about Cyril's latest column, Anti-Critical Race Theory Hysteria Revives McCarthyism, Klan Politics, right? And his conversation with Jason Stanley about the, who is an author of the book How Fascism Works, The Politics of Us and Them. And maybe we'll even check in with what's happening on over in his newsletter about the state of the nation and maybe get his thoughts on what's happening kind of in some of the recent stuff in PA politics. Good morning, Cyril. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Well, I guess technically it's afternoon recording today. I got used to doing it a little bit earlier, but then, of course, my kid's schedule kind of twisted us all around, and now here we are kind of doing the record in the afternoon. So afternoon, yeah, good. I'm hanging in there, man.
Right on.
Yeah, so it's been, we've talked about this on the show before, and we've talked about how there seems to be this pushing down into local politics, from kind of a real national level, big money getting involved in school board politics. And it seems to be centered around, or they've, you know, stumbled into critical race theory as the avenue for which they're going to kind of try to, you know, foment like hysteria and get like people's blood boiling as a way to try to continue this kind of rightward stance. And then this is what you took up in this week's column. And so I'm, you know, curious if you could kind of walk us through kind of what in the column, maybe your discussion with Jason Stanley. I love the column and I love the historical portion of it too as well. So take us through it.
Sure. I mean, you know, like you and everyone else, you can't avoid hearing about the anti-critical race theory, propaganda, you know, hysteria, backlash, if you will, that's, you know, taking over not only the news cycle, but different school board meetings and races. And, you know, what we're seeing is that this is, I mean, first let's just make it clear, critical race theory is not being taught in K through 12 schools, right? That's a pretty important fact there. And pretty much just, you know, negates their whole argument, because again, it's like a college level course. But what the right has done, and you know, Christopher Rufo is like the intellectual architect of this, is that he's just pretty much turned critical race theory into this kind of like, you know, communist kind of like racist backlash to a more critical kind of like teaching of history. And they use it as a kind of like McCarthyite smear you know, to label anyone like to the left of like Dick Cheney, right? You know?
Exactly.
So it's really dangerous. And, you know, what they want to do too is this is part of like a project to essentially rewrite, not only rewrite history, but indoctrinate our children. You know, they don't want to teach, you know, I was quoting like the one radio program, the conservative voice, and the Penridge school board candidates, you know, the far right candidates, were talking, and the one woman was talking about slavery, right? As she's talking, she's just like, she's sounding like super annoyed that like slavery is something that like people are still talking about,
right,
and teaching. And, you know, so she says, well, we all agree it was wrong, and it's time now to move on. We live in the greatest country in the world, and that's what our kids need to be learning again, right? So what they want to churn out is just like these little, like, you know, nationalists, right? Far-right nationalists who think exactly that. The country is the greatest in the world, and, you know, there's nothing to learn from the mistakes of the past.
Well, as she said, you know, we are in the beginning stages of socialism now, right? So we've got to do everything we can, or we're going to lose this greatest country on the planet.
it's really horrifying. And, you know, and then so, like, I called up Jason Stanley and talked to him for the article. And like you said, he's the author of The Politics of How Fascism Works, The Politics of Us Versus Them. And, you know, he just kind of, like, walked me through the historical kind of, you know, roots of this movement. And, you know, it is kind of like a descendant of the McCarthyism that, you know, started in the mid-40s, but really, you know, blew up and flourished, if you will, under Senator Joseph McCarthy in the 50s, which accused, like, you know, which essentially was arguing that the United States had been infiltrated on multiple levels, not only institutionally, but like our country was just getting taken over by communists. Like even the CIA, who were overthrowing communist countries, you know, in other parts of the world, or, you know, quote unquote communist countries, like anyone, you know, for example, like in, you know, 54, when the United Fruit Company and CIA conspired to overthrow Jacobo Arbenz. He wasn't a communist, he just did some labor and land reforms, which cut into the profits of United Fruit Company, but according to the United Fruit Company, that was being a communist. He was essentially like he had the politics of maybe like Joe Biden, right? Just a moderate liberal reformer. And then, you know, as well as like you see this like anti-communism with the Ku Klux Klan and their politics. And all of this is like a backlash to kind of like the civil rights movement, right?
Right.
And that's what brings us like to today. So it's just like there's this new civil rights movement that's flourishing, right? Like people, you know, in its response to like the militarization of the police and the impunity which they enjoy when they kill or harass or beat unarmed black people or people of color, right? And so this is kind of like also a reaction to the new civil rights movement that's thankfully growing and developing right now.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that, you know, this is the backlash politics, right? This is the white backlash. This is, you know, I've been reading a lot of, I read Heather McGee's book on The Sum of Us, which is absolutely phenomenal, which she uses this metaphor, right, of kind of draining the public pools, right? The idea that, you know, instead of expanding this to a multiracial democracy, that white supremacy demands that you even make, like, working class white people pay the price to maintaining segregation and separation. And then because of one of the recent Penridge school board meetings, you had a woman who was in there kind of waving White Fragility, right, by Robin DiAngelo in her hand. You know, I went and read the book. I hadn't read it yet. And I went and read the book and I was like, this is freaking awesome. I was like, this is, you know, I mean, it was because, you know, she was talking about kind of how her engagement and thinking very carefully about what happens in terms of, you know, the ways that things like white supremacy, you know, are basically affect all of us, right? And if we're really kind of thinking about laying the plans for, you know, like a multiracial democracy long term, how to be able to think about it and stuff. I just found it fascinating. But for her, right, and a lot of these candidates, I mean, like you quote also in your article about Cora Landis, you know, the QAnon adherent up in Palisades, who, and then she says, quote, "Are you ready to join the fight? Are you ready to do the work that needs to be done to save our school district from the, quote, progressive, from the lies of the left, the Marxist ideology, socialism, CRT is at the door of all school districts. I'm hoping we can save Palisades." Right? I'm thinking, like, these people, every single day for them is like they're living in, like, Night of the Living Dead. Right? I mean, it's like the zombies are coming. Except it's really black people and brown people. Like, and I think that's the way, that's the, you know, and that requires, I think, this constant state of fear and anger to have pumped into them to keep that going. I mean, it's astounding in so many ways.
No, absolutely. And, you know, it's like what Stanley said is like these fascist politics, it militarizes politics. So they're speaking in these apocalyptic terms. Like, our country's under attack. We're on the verge of losing the greatest country in the world if we quote unquote do nothing and stand by. And this is really dangerous given that the far right's propensity towards violence. And so, like, the militarization of politics and the promotion of violence by the right, that's what we saw on January 6th, right? And, exactly. You know, and, like, people should be really concerned when they're using this type of language. Like, who knows what could happen at one of these school board meetings? Like, in other parts of the country, it's gotten so heated, the police have had to come, right, to arrest people because they're just, like, frothing at the mouth, you know, rabid with their rage and anger over something that does not exist, right? Over something that's not being taught in the schools. But again, like, you know, like we said, like, that's just like the boogeyman that they're using. And again, they just want to rewrite history. And this isn't even new. Like, so, you know, there was something in that just happened in Texas, right? That the HuffPost and a bunch of other outlets
right.
reported about with their education bill about how it's like, you know, now they're taking out kind of like, you know, learning about Cesar Chavez, certain things with Martin Luther King.
Both zombies.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the Klan is not to be taught as something that was, like, morally wrong, right? But this isn't new because, like, even back in, like, 2010, you know, the right has been, you know, attacking school curriculums. It's almost like an annual thing, right? So in 2010, like, the same thing happened. I was just kind of, like, reading up, like, there was, like, an ACLU press release about how, like, they wanted to remove, like, Oscar Romero, like, mentioning Oscar Romero, who was the archbishop in El Salvador, who was assassinated by a Salvadoran death squad of the right-wing military junta, who the U.S. supported, right? Ronald Reagan,
yep.
As well as we trained a lot of these members of the death squads, you know, at the School of the Americas in Fort Benning, Georgia. So even, you know, back in 2010, you know, the Texas conservatives and Texas legislature were trying to rewrite the curriculum to remove or disappear people like Oscar Romero. And then just to, like, they also, you know, it was reported that they also were teaching, you know, the Confederacy and Confederacy politics in a positive light.
But no, absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, what we're seeing here at this kind of militarization of politics and kind of like school board meetings is, of course, intimately bound up into the way that we've seen this stuff happen or happening globally. And the worst thing about this is that, you know, the solution that these folks are offering is to basically deny our kids the opportunity to grapple, right, with the complexity and the often contradictory and kind of, you know, shameful parts of history. And that, for me, is like the worst thing in the world. I mean, what they're basically wanting us to do is to have a Disneyfication of history and teach only that. And we should say, too, as well, is that, you know, it's not a coincidence that these kind of upticks in this kind of you know, CRT, like frothing at the mouth stuff, as you're putting it, is happening at the time as schools around the country are starting to do, you know, DEI stuff. In other words, diversity, equity, and inclusion curriculums, right? Which is designed to make sure that, you know, because you have a changing demographic and because that you're having public schools that are serving wider and kind of broader groups of students, making sure that schools are able to kind of like grapple with that, are able to work with that, and making sure that all kids, right, find a place in public school. And so there's been these initiatives. And that's what's been the case, at least in Pennridge. I mean, you see this, what's happening at these meetings is that they're able to tie like fairly kind of simple, kind of open, pro-kid kind of moves like DEI into this kind of CRT hysteria, right? And then basically point at those people who are working on this DEI curriculum and say, you know, you are basically, you know, like McCarthy, right? McCarthy sitting there and say, we're going to have to call you before Congress to testify to prove that you're not a communist. I mean, it's remarkable how this goes.
Yeah, I mean, if these people get into the school boards, and, you know, not to mention like the governor's race, which is so important in Pennsylvania, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we started seeing these kind of like McCarthyite trials of teachers, because, you know, you already see them pointing fingers and trying to conflate like what you were talking about, like a diversity and inclusion, you know, with some kind of like communist plot to, you know, make our children, you know, hate themselves, right? Like they're trying to suggest that, you know, critical race theory, which again isn't being taught, teaching people to hate themselves for the color of their, you know, white skin. When what it actually does is the exact opposite, right? It's talking about like racism in systemic and like institutionalized terms. You know, if you don't believe in systemic racism, which is something like Joan Collin, who's on the board of,
right,
she clearly has tweeted that she doesn't believe in that, then the only other alternative is that every single person is a racist, right? So, like, there was just a story in the AP about, like, the Pennsylvania, like, juvenile justice system, and it showed that, like, blacks were disproportionately impacted. Black juvenile youths were disproportionately arrested, disproportionately removed from their homes, right, for minor offenses, right?
Right.
So if that's not systemic racism, if that's not institutionalized and cultural behavior that we need to address and try to fix, then that just means every single person that works in the Pennsylvania juvenile justice system is a racist for doing that, right? You know, it's real. Like, it's, you know, there's liberal institutions that, like, suffer from this as well. Like, the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is a great organization. They produce the best work. Like, they had issues with racism and sexism within,
yep,
within their organization, right?
Yep, absolutely. And that's what we got to do. I mean, it seems to me is like this is what you're supposed to be doing in school, especially in a democracy, right? You know, I think, you know, I teach writing, I teach communication stuff and things like that. And one of the things that we always talk about in, you know, in the classes, what does it mean to actually be in higher education for the purposes of, you know, learning to be better and deeper democratic participants in our culture? Right. And the conclusion that I always say is, look, I'm going to spoil this ahead of time, is the idea. It's not that we all walk out of this classroom thinking the same thing. Right. It's that, a matter of fact, is that democracy depends on difference. Right. Democracy depends upon a range of different opinions that are often kind of in conflict with one another. Right. The difference between democracy and kind of like, you know, let's go out and kind of have a duel. Right. Is that we rely upon persuasion and we learn to hear and exchange and debate things. Right. In good faith. Right. And I said, and that's the ideal that we strive for, you know. So the idea is not that you are now going to be convinced of what that person says. It's rather than both of you are going to be able to articulate each other's positions, understand it, even if you're in the end, you're not going to agree with each other. Right. That's the critical capacity that we're supposed to be doing. And what these folks are trying to do is remove the opportunity for that kind of exchange at the level of kindergarten, when kids are first learning this idea about negotiating difference. And that sets it up for a world in which good chunk of, you know, half our population is going to be excluded, right, from being able to see themselves in their own curriculum in their own schools. Right. That's what these people want. I mean, that is why you call this white supremacy, right, as opposed to like, oh, just someone with a different opinion. No, they're trying to exclude half of our population from being able to kind of have an opportunity to see themselves in our futures. So,
yeah, I mean,
pretty crazy.
And going back to fascist politics, like, right, it is, it just, like, they're trying to, like, rewrite history to create this, like, kind of, like, mythical nationalist past. And what we see them is they do this through propaganda, which is what, you know, the fascist politics does. There's an anti-intellectualism. There's attacking of universities, of educational systems that actually challenge this mythology that they kind of like have created about what the country is.
Exactly.
And that's what we're up against. And then, you know, it should also be noted, like, these people, you know, I was listening to the conservative voice, like, they're racist and they're bigoted, right? They make jokes about transgender students, right?
Well, you quote this in your piece, right? By saying, like, you know, yeah, look, I don't care what you want to identify as an elephant. I don't care, right? Ha ha ha, everybody laughs.
They're laughing. And, you know, one thing I wasn't able to put in, but, like, the host was saying, like, you know, the new, what BLM stands for, which, you know, Black Lives Matter, is like burn loot movement, right? And they're just like, oh.
Jesus.
You know, and just like, so like, these are people that are supposed to represent Black and LGBTQ students, right? Like, imagine if, like, you know, one of the Black or LGBTQ students are actually like listening to this. Like, how would they feel? So like, these people are, they're racist, they're bigoted, they're ignorant, right? And they're dangerous. And
yes.
So I just hope that, you know, the Democratic Party and Democrats in Penridge and, you know, Palisades and throughout Bucks County don't shy away from, calling them out for what they are. Like, people need to realize this. And their QAnon, you know, followers as well, right?
Well, exactly.
Are there any, like, kind of, like, normal Republicans left in Butts County that are actually willing to stand up and reject this, right?
Well, and so far the answer has been no.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, that is the answer. And you know, God, what happens if these people, like, if there's a just, you know, the school board in Penridge is already right wing, right? Like, you get these three put in there as well. I mean, it's essentially like Joan Collins' junta. And it's going to take, you know, the damage that they do with their policies, with their kind of, influence on, like, curriculum and teachers, I don't know how you put that genie back into the bottle.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I can't go to the conclusion of the show yet. Before, I got to ask you about this, because in your newsletter, you've got a picture from 1977, October 23rd, 1977, it was from Morrisville, and it is at the Ku Klux Klan meeting. That's Bucks County at the Clavern meeting room in Morrisville. I have to say, when I saw, look, I mean, I know that there's, like, racism all throughout everywhere, that it's not just, like, off in some distance land. I mean, I know, like, out in Kutztown, for example, right down the street, there's a place where they store their Klan robes, and not far away, there's actually an office. But to see this picture of this Klan meeting in Bucks County, unit number one, Bucks County, it struck me. Like, where did you get this thing? I mean, this is, like, unbelievable.
Just as part of my research, right? So I was just kind of, like, researching, like, the Klan in Bucks County. And I believe it was, like, Temple University had this archived, right? And it's just, yeah, if people go to my newsletter, sarahmagalico.substack.com, you can see this. And it's just, it's intense, right? And you know, that's the politics that we're dealing with now. They're just not wearing their hoods anymore. It's just out and open. And it's become so normalized that, you know, these folks are talking in racist terms and bigoted terms. And now they don't even feel like they have to hide it anymore. And, you know, I think a lot of that is just, like, that's the legacy of the Trump administration. That's one of the, you know, many dark things that he kind of left behind was just this kind of like normalization of what many people would at least have, like, you know, it's horrible if you think that, but, you know, before they probably like realize, I probably shouldn't say this in public, right?
No. Right.
You know, people are going to, you know, realize that I'm a racist or accuse me of being a racist. Now it's just Republican politics. Like, that's the Republican Party. That's what it's become. It's a party of extremists. It's a party of conspiracy theory. It's a party of that embraces fascist politics, which has waged a war not only on history, but on just facts and the truth. But yeah, I mean, that photo is intense. And, you know, we were talking about this earlier. I was like flipping through my yearbook, class of 94, Council Rock. and in the yearbook, there was like a little like news blurb about how there was a KKK march in Washington Crossing that year. You know, so these folks, you know, they're still here, right? Like, they are. They might not be like marching yet, you know, but, you know, they're just not wearing the hoods out in public anymore. Who knows what could happen, right?
I mean, right.
You know, we've seen what happened in Charlottesville, the Unite the Right rally. You know, there. You know, we have Tucker Carlson talking about like white replacement theory on a national or international news program, Fox,
and practically nightly, right?
Yeah. And that's the new normal. That's the world we live in, and you know that's why we got to organize. You know The only thing that's going to like stop this is people power, and we're really up against it because there's a lot of money behind this too. Like we talked
right.
about, you know, in one of the past shows with my newsletter, it's just like, you know, these right wing funding institutes with like ties to like the Koch brothers, they're pumping money into these like hate groups, far right, white ring, xenophobic, white nationalist hate groups. So we need to organize, you know, these school board elections are so important. You know, folks, if you have the time, you know, just kind of like get involved with the local Democratic candidates. I've highlighted some of them in my newsletter. Knock on doors, give a few bucks, right? Because we can't let the Ricky Chaykins and Cora Landises, these QAnon figures with KKK politics, set curriculum. Right.
I hear you 100%. I mean, that's the only thing you could do is get involved too as well. And I know that, you know, I gave some of the Pennridge Democrats kind of just recently, because, you know, I think, and, you know, this is one of my goals here is to get more involved with the kind of all local Democrats. And yes, I mean, you know, I'm going to have trouble with any time that I get within with folks in say the Democrats in terms of, say, differences. But I think this is the time to really practice this kind of coalitional politics, where we're kind of really recognizing that the threat is bigger than us all. And, you know, again, it's a real opportunity to kind of renew kind of conversations that I think have been dormant for a long time about how we actually build kind of like everywhere. Right. And kind of for a better future. Well, listen, Cyril, so I know, like, you know, there's probably very little that's kind of out there to be able to write about these days. You're probably trying to figure out, you know, geez, you know, like, I have to make some stuff up, because I mean, it's not like there's like not voter suppression that is going on down the street. It's not that there's, you know, organizations that are doing work at every of course there are these things. But so what are some of the things that you're kind of thinking about or you're working on for future columns?
Sure. I mean, you know, what you were just saying, like, you know, the same folks that are kind of and the same lawmakers that are pushing this anti critical race theory hysteria and legislation are the same ones that are trying to, you know, steal the last presidential election and are still kind of like pushing that big lie that led to the insurrection, like white Christian nationalist Doug Mastriano right here in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, you know, voting rights, that's something that I'm starting to dig into now. You know, again, like with all this, this is just like, this is a story that just keeps going and going. Obviously, you know, labor rights, you know, union politics is something that I'd like to dig into a little more. The PRO Act is something that we definitely need. I also want to see, like, I you know, down the line, I'd like to kind of, you know, explore more like the intersection of like the labor movement and the environmental movement, this kind of like, you know, blue-green coalition politics that we're seeing, you know, starting to kind of like grow more and more, you know, and looking at like the policies and politics behind like Biden's like, you know, infrastructure plan.
Right.
That's a perfect opportunity to kind of really like strengthen these coalitions. And quite frankly, it's what we need moving. It's absolutely necessary as we kind of move forward. Because, you know, climate change is real, folks. You know?
Look, I mean, we're sitting under here under the haze of the wildfires in Oregon right now. I mean, literally, we watched the sunset last night where my daughter was getting out of swimming last night, and we were walking outside the YMCA and kind of look up and we're like, holy crap, the sun was like an orange marble that you could look at because it was so hazy. I mean, this is the second year in a row that this happened. The same thing happened last year with the California wildfires. I mean, this is, and again, we saw the flooding in Germany. We saw what happened in Bristol Township. The list goes on and on. And at the same time, we know that there's people that are out there, right, as Jeff Bezos takes his little kind of like special rocket up there, we're seeing like, you know, our workforce is being decimated. Right. I mean, I thought that like, at that particular time, you're talking about, well, wildfires creating this haze, Jeff Bezos going there and on a rocket and a space company that's built upon the exploitation, the brutal exploitation, right, of the workforce. And then he has the gall to go around and says, thank you for paying for it. Right. I mean, I couldn't be more of a coming together of like the need for like radical and militant climate action and militant labor action together.
Yeah. And moving forward, that's the solution. We need green jobs, green infrastructure that are union, that protect our workers.
I hear you, man. Look, we're going to be looking for more coming from Cyril. We're going to have more information about some upcoming shows in here. Always got kind of things kind of working, some irons in the fire. Always looking to get callbacks from people out there too as well, right? We've been reaching out to, I'm just joking. We're reaching out to kind of some different people, looking to get some, doing some more interviews on this show. Matter of fact, if you go on, make sure you check out Cyril's newsletter. It really, really is awesome. And you go Cyril Michaleko at Substack.com or .substack.com. You click on the link in the show notes today. One of the things that I was going to pitch to Cyril before the show today, but you know, I'm just going to put it on the air, is it'd be kind of interesting to do a show kind of in the kind of upcoming weeks on the School of the Americas and the role that that's had. I mean, given everything that's going on with Haiti, what's happening in all throughout Central America and kind of Latin America, really. We see the increase of the influence on kind of U.S. imperialism throughout these areas. So this is something for there. So, well, with that, Cyril, I guess get out there and enjoy the haze. No, but seriously, it's always good talking to you, man. And we'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Fantastic. Sounds good, Kevin. Thanks.
There we go. All right, so this is Kevin Mahoney, editor and founder of Raging Chicken. Want to remind you that you can become a patron of Raging Chicken by going to patreon.com/rcpress. Become a patron for as little as $5 a month, everybody. Help support this show, keeping it going. See ya!